Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
We are talking on the Beacon Broadcast today, as we continue from yesterday. We are talking about diatrophies. Diatrophies, that nefarious character that nearly everybody has heard of at one time or another. And if you haven't heard about this particular one found in 3 John, because 3 John is the shortest epistle in the Bible, and not a particularly highly studied epistle, and so you may or may not have heard of Diatrophies, but I guarantee that you have run into some people very much like Diatrophies somewhere along the way. And Diotrephes is a man who exercised unauthorized power in his church. He had usurped authority unto himself. He was acting like the church boss, the church dictator. He was forcing other people to do what he said to do. He was running the church his own way, not a biblical way at all. And he was obviously creating a great deal of mischief and damage in the process. And John is talking about him. John is exposing him in this epistle. John is telling us how he intends to deal with him, which is very helpful to us. And so we want to give careful attention to this portion of God's Word. And to that end, we welcome you to this Tuesday, July 30 edition of the Beacon Broadcast, and thank you. Thank you so much, those of you whose financial gifts keep us teaching God's Word on this station. Well, John wrote an epistle to one of the churches of Asia Minor, but it was not received by the church, apparently because of this man Diotrephes, who probably didn't even allow the church to hear the epistle, probably didn't have it read in the church. He intercepted it and would not let it be known. And if it was circulated to anyone in the church, he sternly commanded that nobody should help the traveling preachers that John was writing to commend and to request them to help. I wrote to the church, says John in verse 9, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. We learned on the broadcast yesterday that Diotrephes has a Greek name. He was actually named for Zeus, really the most prominent god among the Greeks, the king of the gods. And he bore a name that generally was found only in families of nobility. Apparently his family was high up in Roman society. Greek background, but in Roman society. He was clearly a Gentile, for no Jew would bear that name. He clearly came from a pagan background, but apparently had professed faith in Christ, claimed now to be a Christian, but his parents named him in honor of a pagan god. But from the very name he bears, we have reason to believe that he was a man from a wealthy family, which means he undoubtedly had received a good education, which was available to those who were in the upper classes in those days, and that he He probably enjoyed a high cultural exposure. He was a blue blood, we might call him in our day. He was an aristocrat, another name we might use from him today. He was a man of wealth and privilege. And this apparently was how he had somehow managed to obtain the kind of dictatorial authority that made him the church boss when he had no right, no biblical right, to exercise that kind of authority. We know what his attitude was. He loves to have the preeminence. That's what John says in verse 9, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. He loves to have the preeminence. The New American Standard Bible translates that, who loves to be first. And the English Standard Version says, who likes to put himself first. That's the idea. And again, probably he was accustomed to that by his upbringing. He was a member of the elite class of his society, and so he and his family were accustomed to everybody catering to them. That was certainly true in a society like that, where the classes were much more pronounced than they are in American society. But we know that happens even in American society, that people who have inherited wealth and have come from a family that that's well-connected, is the word that we often use, that people like that expect to be treated differently. They expect to be treated with special honor. They expect people to defer to them. They expect people to do what they tell them to do. They expect that. They demand that. And those are traits that you find very often in society among unbelievers, but all of those things should be left behind when a person becomes a Christian. You should leave all of that at the door of the church, but Diotrephes did not. His Christian faith had not transformed this character defect of having an exalted opinion of himself and expecting everybody around him to defer to him. He carried that right into the church. Why? Well, the best you could say about him is he did so because he was still very immature as a Christian, had experienced very little spiritual growth, though he would have believed the opposite. He would have considered himself to be of superior Christian standing and ability. But the truth of the matter is that it is far, 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 far more likely that the reason he acted this way is because he'd never been saved. That's the most likely explanation, and really the kindest explanation, because you really don't do people a service when everything about them screams unregenerate, but you keep acting like and referring to them as Christians. He's a Christian, but he's just backslidden. He's a Christian, but he's just a carnal Christian. He's a Christian, but he's not behaving very much like one. Well, I would be very cautious about talking like that, because you may be contributing to his lost condition continuing because he hears people saying, he's a Christian, he's a Christian. I caution you about that with your children. I've heard many a parent say something like, well, I know my child is out in the world, he's living in the pig pen, he's living a profligate lifestyle, I know that, it breaks my heart, but I know he's a Christian, I know if he dies he'll go to heaven, because I remember when he was 6 years old and he made a profession of faith, I know he's saved. No, you don't. Profession of faith doesn't equate to genuine salvation in every case. In fact, it does not in a lot of cases. The kindest thing you can do is to quit encouraging him to think he's a Christian, because that's what many parents do. Johnny, I know you're a Christian. Why don't you come back to the Lord? Well, the reason Johnny, in most cases, doesn't come back to the Lord is because he's never come to the Lord. truly in saving faith, but as long as you keep talking to him that way, he'll never understand his need of Christ. What you should be saying is, Johnny, I cannot believe that you are a Christian. I know you think you are, but everything about your life indicates that you are not. I can't see your heart, but I'd have to say I'm most concerned about your soul. It appears to me, by every measurable standard that I can find in the Bible, that you have never been born again. You need to be saved. That is the most likely explanation for Diotrephes. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. And John goes on in verse 11 to which, what I think is to clinch my explanation that this man is undoubtedly unsaved, because John goes on in verse 11 to say, Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. What can that mean but that John does not consider Diotrephes to be a Christian? He's doing evil. Beloved, don't you imitate that. He's doing evil. And those who act that way have not seen God. He's no Christian. He doesn't know God. How about you, dear friend? I may be talking to somebody who fits a description of Diotrephes, and you're listening to this broadcast. You are, maybe you listen regularly, maybe not, maybe you just tuned it in accidentally, going across the dial, and somehow you heard it, and you're listening in. God has a reason for your doing that, if that's your case, and he wants you to see yourself as you truly are. You consider yourself to be an important Christian, an important member of the church who wields great influence in the church, which you consider to be the evidence of your standing with God. But the way you are exercising your abused and usurped authority says just the opposite. You're not doing good, you're doing evil. You're not conforming to Scripture, you are disobeying it. You are not following Christ, you are going in the opposite direction. And the quicker you realize that, acknowledge that, confess it, cry out to God for mercy, for salvation, for pardon, the better off you'll be. And you may not be that way, but you may have some people in your family that are acting this way, and the kindest thing you can do is to tell them that you are very concerned about their soul, that you don't believe that they have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Oh, that'll make them angry, of course. What would you rather do? Keep them from being angry and let them continue on the road to hell without anyone trying to dislodge them from their mistaken notion, or to be a faithful servant of the Lord Jesus Christ and tell them the truth, which God may use. Only God knows what he intends to do, but God may use to shock them into recognizing their true spiritual condition and crying out to God for mercy. Yes, old Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence, may God remove that sinful Adamic tendency from every one of our hearts and truly humble us before the mighty hand of God and make us Christ-like and meek and submissive and kind and encouraging and helpful to the people around us, as Christ was and as Christ would have his children to do. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.